It is KCIM Sports Rewind here on this Tuesday. I am joined with the one and only Jeff Blankman, the sports director here at Carroll Broadcasting, as well as assistant sports director Mason Nealon. And we got a special guest in studio today, Bill Badley, talking about the shootout going on at Carroll on the 30th. So we got all that coming up for you here on KCIM Sports Rewind. Also, got a pretty tough trivia question today. I've stumped you the last two times I've given one, so I'm pretty proud of myself for today's as well.
Well, you know what that means. It just means that you need to make them a little easier because you have an old man and a young kid, you know, trying to answer them every week. And, well, you know, our brains combined sometimes don't equal one.
Yeah, so. Well, I will say this. This is probably my easiest one of the many that we've done so far. Throughout my time being here, but we are joined with Bill Badley today talking about Carroll shootout going on. What is this year in a row that they've had it? Three? Is this the third year in a row?
This is our third year. That we have it, and you know, when we started first year, we didn't know what would happen, and it's turned out to be a fun thing for lots of people, and third go-around on Friday night, January 30th, Tigers host winner set, and we'll have it at halftime of the boys' game.
Yeah, expect a good crowd. I know that it's brought in some people coming back, just taking a look at everything and stuff like that, but imagine you guys are expecting a good crowd, a good turnout coming up next Friday.
Well, it's going to be the Carroll High Foundation night, and the season's winding down. The girls won't have many games left after that prior to starting tournament, but United Bank of Iowa sponsored it the first year. Didn't know what would happen, like I said, didn't know how it would go, and it was a huge success, and they have stuck with us, and hats off to United Bank of Iowa for sticking with it and supporting the foundation, and just look for a good night, and got two teams or four former players coming back, and that's what makes it fun
for
the fans to see the former players.
Bill, what's it like having to try and put all the work? What do you all do behind the scenes to get this thing ready to go every year? Because there's probably more work than people realize.
Well, there's a little work or organization to it. It's fun, though. Go back down through the years and write down the names of kind of standout players, both on the girls' side and boys' side, and try to match it up or team it up, and just get the people back. I was telling people the other day, it's fun with caller ID anymore. Coach, haven't seen you for 20 years. What's up? You know, want you to come back. Coach, I haven't picked a basketball up. Do I have to shoot? Well, yeah, you do. Well, I don't want to do it, you know. So, yeah, you try to find people that will. And like I say, the fans love to see the people come back. And you try to – we got lots of decades to cover. And so every year you kind of try to work things out.
Do you get as many no's as yeses? Does it take some time to get the four people you need, or does that go relatively smoothly?
Surprisingly, you get a few no's. Yeah, you get a few no's, and you just keep working on them, and you go down that list, and sooner or later, bingo, it hits.
What are some of the favorite memories, as you said, you're going through all these years and even decades to try and find kids and then reach out to them? As you're writing those lists down, what are some of the favorite memories that have maybe come back for you of either coaching those kids or watching those kids play?
Well, you know, it's easy for the sports fans to reminisce or look back and think about certain teams, certain players, even certain games, moments in games. I have the luxury of also, as these guys here know, former students, knowing them in the school day,
right,
in class, you know. And it's kind of like slow pitch. Once in a while, a guy says to me, I can't believe I struck out. And I And I always say, well, you did in wiffle ball. Why is it going to change, you know? So you get a chance to, you know, rekindle memories from the school days also, you know. But, yeah, this year, let me tell you who we have. Interesting, we've got Team 2006.
Okay.
Big Steve Goody, the big tall kid.
Yeah.
Okay. And then his teammate, Greg Schultz, coming all the way back from Minnesota.
Wow.
And both of them played college basketball. Schultz, he had had an outstanding career down at Grandview, played on two teams that were in the NAIA National Tournament, and that's really good basketball, mm-hmm. great basketball.
Yep.
And then the other team, Team Dirks. Rachel Reichs, now she's Rachel Dirks, and her husband Michael Dirks, both were standout players. She was a standout four-sport athlete
yep.
for the Tigers, and Michael played baseball and basketball and all-conference basketball player, but then went on and became a standout pitcher at Buena Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And all-conference pitcher up there, you know. So those two teams will face off, and somebody will make more baskets than the other. But in the end, we add up the baskets, add up the money, and United Bank of Iowa donates that to the Carroll High Foundation, and good things happen.
Bill, are you hoping that the future and seeing kind of the success of how many people come back and how fun this is kind of makes some more people want to throw their hat into the bucket and want to come back and participate?
You hit it on the head there, because sometimes you have to twist some arms or wrists. Once in a while you talk to the wife and the wife says, yeah, my husband will be there. He might not want to be, but he's going to be there. And then vice versa, you know. But it's interesting where some of the fans now come up to me and say, hey, how about this person? You remember this? And I usually say, hey, I got their name on the list, or I've talked to them and they're not excited about it, you know. But yeah, it's like I say, it's become a fun thing to do, and it's popular, and it benefits the students in the end through the foundation.
And that's what I was going to talk about. The foundation, a lot of this goes back to scholarships, I believe, right, for a lot of the kids, or is it distributed other places? Where's all the money go to?
Well, the Carroll High Foundation, and as I understand, and I'm not, I don't know all mm-hmm. the bylaws, guidelines, but the foundation supports school activities that are not covered through school money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are some guidelines and policies that every state has with their state schools that, you know, the money cannot be used for this. So the foundation will support the schools and teachers. A teacher may say, hey, I need a few extra dollars for this, which I can't spend, you know, with school money. And a foundation helps there. And I think the foundation does do something with scholarships towards the end of the school year for graduation. But, yeah, it's just a little extra boost for needed things in the school system.
Bill, for anybody that maybe just wants to donate to the foundation just to help out in those, how do they do that if they can?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fans in the past, the fans have been great. They'll drop a $20 bill in or $10 bill, or they'll say, hey, I'll give $5 for every basket that so-and-so makes. You know, there'll be a table set up in the commons there. Before the games, people can stop by there. You could drop off a donation at any school, and it'll get passed on to the foundation. This Venmo, these young guys know this Venmo stuff. I still have the money clip with dollar bills, but Venmo. Katie Cruz handles the Venmo. You can Venmo at Katie slash cruise, K-R-U-S-E /16, and indicate celebrity shootout, make a donation that way. They could even pass the money under you, and you'd get it back to us, Jeff.
I certainly would. Bill, take us through the competition that those two teams are going to go through on the 30th.
Okay. Every year it might change a little bit, but it kind of always stays the same. The two players on each team, they get 6 free throws. If one person wants to take all 6 or 3 and 3, whatever, but – anyway, each free throw made is worth $25 each. Each team gets 6 three-pointers. Those are worth $50 each. And then each player, the 4 players, will get 2 attempts from the center circle with a chance to make 1. If they make the first one, then they don't get their second, naturally. But those shots are worth $100 each. So I'd like to see all 4 players make 4 of them. That's $400 in the pot, you know. And last year, the score was tied between the two teams, and Nolan Strybe hit one from the center circle to win. So yeah, if somebody could do that, you know, and the fans got into it, and you know, it's interesting that Winterset is the opponent. They were the opponent the very first year we did this, and they're spectators. Got into it. They were cheering on the people that were shooting. Yeah,
it's just a great thing that I think that brings a lot of people out to the game, and it goes to a really good cause and everything like that. Anything that we're missing, Bill, so far from this? You know, I know it's coming up on the 30th. You mentioned Winterset going to be the opponent, but on the basketball side of it, you get a chance to see former people come back and stuff like that, and then also see some pretty good basketball teams as well with the Carroll Boys and Carroll Girls.
Oh yeah. You know, as we were talking before the session here, you know, good basketball is being played in our area, and that makes it exciting for everybody. I mean, you know, somebody from Carroll looks down the road and, hey, what's Coon doing down there? Who are they playing tonight? You know, I mean, but no, it'll be good basketball, and Greg Schultz, I remember him from yesteryear. I called him, and there was no twisting. I'll be there. I said, well, I just want to make sure because I'll be there, coach. I'll be there. You know, he was excited.
He was a heck of a shooter in his day and a great pitcher.
Yes,
that team
great
to the
pitcher,
state baseball tournament.
Great pitcher,
so
yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have covered all 4 of those kids coming back when they were in high school. So I'm glad to see that group come back. So you got some really good people there.
Bill, I don't think we're missing anything else, are we, about what's coming up on the 30th?
Well, just thanks for having me in and giving me a few minutes because, excited about it. And as the time gets closer, fans will probably pick up on it a little more too.
Yeah, even. For sure. Again, that is coming up on the 30th as Carroll takes on Winterset. What's the event actually called? Is it a shootout?
It's the Carroll High School Foundation Celebrity Tiger Shootout.
Okay. Yeah, that's all coming up on the 30th as they take on Winterset. Halftime of the boys' game, 2 separate teams going to go at it for some donations to the Carroll High School Foundation, so come out and check that out. Bill, want to thank you for your time and coming in and talking to us about it.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
We will step away, take a break. We'll be back with more KCIM Sports Rewind after this.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is KCIM Sports Rewind back with you here on this Tuesday. Joined in studio with Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon, and Bill Badley still in there hanging out with us. And we'll do the trivia question first, guys, because Jeff asked me about it while we were at break. So it's been 15 seasons that the Chiefs and the Patriots have both played in the AFC Championship game, arguably the since 2000, at least 2010, the 2 best teams in the AFC. Do you know when the last matchup was and who the 2 teams were that were not – the Chiefs or the Patriots in the AFC Championship game?
Jets-Steelers 2010.
Yeah, that was it. That's what it was. I mean, as a Jets fan, I knew the answer right away because it was the last time we ever made an AFC Championship game in 15 years.
When was the last time prior to that?
2009. They went to back-to-back.
Okay.
They went to back-to-back. But before then, we haven't even been to a Super Bowl since 1960. So.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because Coach Rowe and I were talking last night during the championship game, and both of us are Dolphins fans. We kind of indicated we don't really worry about the Jets, even though we're not any good. We know there's always going to be one franchise a little worse than us.
Yes. At least two wins per season, you know. I thought I had you stumped this morning, but I was like, Mason probably knows this. Do you know what the score was?
I think the Steelers went.
Yep.
So, what, like 31, 31-21?
Oh, you're 24-19 was the final. Well, that was the year the Steelers, I think, what, lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because they won it the year prior to that against Arizona. Mm-hmm. So, or a couple years prior to that against Arizona. So, yeah, 24-19 was the final of that one. Jets-Steelers was the last time that we did not see the Chiefs or the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And obviously that statistic holds true with the Patriots winning over the weekend. Really good NFL football games over the weekend if you watched them.
Yeah, I think three out of the four were good. I think that
the Seahawks and Seahawks and 49ers kind of got out of hand.
And when you watched that first play when Shaheed took it 97 yards and the kicker tried to slide tackle him and he went all the way, I mean, that was kind of the tone setter. But Seattle's a good team, I tell you that. It's going to be a fun NFC championship. And I feel bad for Broncos fans with Bo Nix going down. It makes it that much harder, but I think the Seahawks are kind of my favorite right now.
My brother called me and said, hey, did you see the intro to the game? And I said, no. I said, why, what's up? And he goes, well, they introed in the 12th man, and the stadium was absolutely going crazy, and then Shaheed takes the kickoff back for the touchdown. I think the game's over with. And he was right. From there, it was absolutely over with.
I will just say, and this is not a shot at Mason, I'm just glad that the Rams won and not for Mason. I wouldn't have watched any of the conference championship games because I really don't like the other three teams that are alive in the playoffs, and the Bears would have joined that. I'm just not a fan. So if they'd have won, I'd have had nobody to pull for to get to the Super Bowl. So as a Dolphins fan, I will never, ever cheer for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I tell you first, we're talking about the Bears there. The last play when we scored that touchdown in regular time and Caleb threw it on his back foot 40 yards to the corner of the end zone, to our backup tight end, that might be the most impressive play I've ever seen. It was crazy, but you talk about that, I'm surprised that you don't like the Bears. They're probably the best team out of those four that would have been in there besides the Rams, but I tell you, that one, that Shaheed play too, when you were going back to that, I think that was the fifth loudest play in NFL history with like the decibel reading.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I knew the game was probably over with then, and then the Seahawks just put it on from there and everything like that. Basketball-wise, Iowa State's lost two in a row for the men. I know our news director, Nathan Cohn's, not very happy with that.
They'll get it fixed.
They're too talented
and they're too good defensively. I think some of their top players probably not 100% healthy right now, and I think that's impacting them. And the Big 12's not an easy conference when it comes to basketball, so I think they'll right the ship. I'm probably a little bit more concerned about the Iowa State women. And the struggles that they're going through right now, because it just seems like maybe, and Bill, you can answer this, maybe the formula to beat the Iowa State women was kind of thrown out there, and teams are now using it, and the Cyclones may have to make some adjustments.
Well, losing Addie Brown's a big loss.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's for the season. Yeah, yeah. And we saw, I can't remember which team it was, but they more or less put a person behind and in front of Crooks and just said, hey, other ones beat us, you know. I think, yeah, you hit it on the head there. The teams are starting to figure them out a little bit, and if they can get them in transition and make them run, I think it tires out Iowa State a little bit. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch with the Iowa State women. The men, I'm not that concerned. Like you say, they've been a little on the health side, and hey, it's a long season, and losing two or three games, it's going to happen. Now we'll see how they look tonight, because this you know, Central Florida teams, no
right.
push.
Yep.
And when I looked and saw a 14-point spread favor, I thought, I don't know, because Central Florida has played some pretty good basketball mm-hmm. as of late.
I think knocked off Kansas, who beat Iowa State. So.
Yeah.
I will say this. Saw the statistic the other day that since 2026 has started, Iowa men's and women's basketball have a better record than Iowa State and Iowa women's basketball.
Really?
Yep. I think the Iowa State and Iowa men and Iowa State women, since the year has turned, are combined 3-6. Iowa and Iowa State men are like 7-3 or 6-3. So that surprised me a little bit. Based off of, well, I know the girls are playing good, but based off of how well the Iowa State men are playing, you wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, and the Iowa men hit a little slump mm-hmm. here. What
last
dropped
week.
Two or three
yeah,
in a
week.
Row, if I remember
yep.
right. But the women have jumped into the top 10 for mm-hmm. the first time since Caitlin Clark's senior year,
yeah.
and the future looks really good. I had a somebody, an expert here a week or so ago, said that within the next 4 years, the Iowa women will win a national championship. So.
Oh, well, let's hope that expert yeah. or whoever is true, because it wasn't me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know. No, it was somebody on the national
yeah.
level that follows women's basketball really
yeah.
hard. So,
yeah, well, they've got a pretty good recruiting class coming in this next year, and they're really young. I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the Iowa women play this year, but they're on the younger side, and they've done a really nice job with the pieces they have.
The only game I saw was the game against Iowa State.
Yeah.
And they're getting better.
Oh yeah,
they're up in their game right now. Mm-hmm. Iowa women are, and you talk about the expert in the future. You got one word to throw in there: portal. You mm-hmm. never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Never know what's going to happen now.
Yeah, especially on that aspect of everything with the portal and stuff like that. So one quick thing before we turn the clock over to high school sports and everything that's going on throughout the week, because we got some good basketball games on tonight that we're going to talk about. Four teams left in the NFL playoffs. Who do you think wins it based off the four?
Seattle.
Mason says Seattle.
I'll go with Mason on that, but I'm really pulling for the Rams.
Badly?
I'm thinking Seattle's got a little edge right now, yeah.
With the way Seattle's playing, I say Seattle, but I like the Rams because I think Stafford might win an MVP, a Super Bowl, and then decide to call it a career.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that. Before we do turn, I do have to congratulate Nick Brinks here real quick. He won our bowl challenge mm-hmm. Last night. He had it wrapped up ahead of time,
yep.
but congratulations goes on to him. I got to get a shout out to the guy to my left here. Mason finished up in second place in his first year, so all he can do is go down from here. Sean Burks and Tom Hawkep tied for third, and then Casey, you were there with Craig Lux for fourth, and then you had me, Todd Danner, Jim Molitor, Ryan Steinkamp, and Mr. Storyhun Jeff down there after that, and then Brian Case, then Doug Waniger, Eric McCullough, Craig Rowetter, and Jerry Fleschner tied, and then bringing up the bottom, and he'll get his trophy here as soon as I can get it to him, Austin Stolk. So, and Nick's already got his trophy. We already published that one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. As long as I don't finish last, I'm okay.
Yeah, and I told Jeff I wanted to win it, but at least beating him was kind of the cherry on top.
Turning our attention to high school sports going on throughout today. Jeff, we've got some really good games on the airwaves tonight. Talking ADM against Carroll, that boys game is going to be fantastic. Two
yep.
ranked teams.
Yes.
And then Kate Carroll's got Exira, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, Coon Rapids, Baird girls, Rolling Valley Conference title on the line tonight here on across the Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network.
Yeah, we'll have Tom Hawkep down there. I think you're going to be helping mm-hmm. out and stuff. Yeah, that one's going to be exciting. I know the Spartan girls, I was down at the boys game with ICAM Manning on Saturday, and the girls were pretty excited about getting that chance, you know, for that to wrap up a conference championship. McCoon could jump right back mm-hmm. into the mix and share that title with them with a win. And last year, those two teams split, so that one should be a lot of fun. And we'll have that on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel as well, so people can watch and listen to that one. And then you mentioned Carroll ADM. I haven't seen the Tigers for a few weeks. It'll be nice to get back out there. They're playing some outstanding basketball right now. Randy does such a tremendous job of getting teams prepared and ready to go, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a tough matchup with ADM. As you mentioned, both teams are ranked. But the you know Carroll's got an opportunity here to climb up and put themselves mm-hmm. in a really good position, you know, top two or three in that league. Ballard looks like they probably are going to be the team that wins it. But, you know, Carroll could climb themselves into that second position if they can keep winning. Yeah. And it starts tonight.
Hey, Carroll's got a couple of good chances for some good wins this week with Des Moines Christian coming up on Saturday over in Gilbert. I know Nick and Mason will be down there for that. But ADM's got one of the best shooters in the state in Lorenzen kid. You got to figure out a way for him. And ADM's just a tough team. It could be a really, really big win for Carroll tonight if they can pull it off.
Yeah, and I like this Carroll team because I even said it, and you look at it, three losses, and you're like, why would that team be ranked number nine? But the three losses are Ballard, who was number one at the time they lost, ADM was number one at the time they lost, and Storm Lake was number three at the time they lost. So this Carroll team's no joke. I mean, they can play, and they can play some seriously high-level basketball against some of these really good teams.
What's most impressive, I think their defense so far this season has been really good for them, and I think that's kind of maybe – taken away the lack of shooting sometimes that they could do because they struggle to shoot the ball sometimes, but the defense has played really well.
Always nice to have a rim protector.
Yes.
You know, and Louis, and then the guards can really lock down they buy into the defensive side of the things. And I think that's probably the thing that impresses me the most sometimes about Coach Beese and coach teams is that usually they're really good on the defensive end because they have a good, you know, game plan that they work on, a good defensive system, and the kids buy into, you know, knowing that defense is what wins you games.
Also want to mention Kemper coming off. I think we mentioned it last week, but starting to pick up steam right now, and they're probably playing their best basketball, I would say, that they've played since the early part of the season, and then especially after Brock went down with an injury.
And I think for them it's kind of about just realizing that you need to find something else, because when I did that Glenwood game, yeah, all five starters were in double digits. I mean, you look and you take away those 20 points per game that Brock was averaging going into that. If everyone's going to chip in and kind of buy into that and not just put it on some one guy's shoulder and say, you know what, go have 30 and then kind of carry us here, I think that's what's really going to make them successful.
Yeah.
Their ball movement here as of late has been really, really good. They're always going to play really well on the defensive side of the things, but their ball movement of late, their ability to cut to the basket and create for each other has been fun to watch.
A couple more minutes left. I know that last week we had some really good games as well. Kind of, you know, thoughts on how last week's gone so far throughout the area. I know Coon dropped, both Coon boys and girls dropped some really, you know, tight games. If you look at the scores, I think, especially in the boys game, a lot closer than what that final score does. And in the girls game too, I think Coon really felt like they were in that game against Trainer. But they were both able to bounce back. Nice wins over Peyton Chernan on last Friday. So they're playing really good basketball as well right now.
Yeah, and I don't think either of those are bad losses. I mean, I talked to head coach Jeff Threben this morning, and he just kind of emphasizes that, you know, that's a game that you're going to learn from. You're going to learn what we kind of are, and you go throughout this season. It's hard to remain undefeated. Even we talked about with college basketball, you're not going to go an entire length of the season undefeated most years. So to take a loss to a team like Trainer's not bad, but you're going to learn a lot from that. And then they bounce back and beat a good Peyton Chernan team. So, I mean, they go into the weekend happy with a game tonight against Xero, Corn Kimbleton, and that's a good Coon team, but I think that loss services them well if they're going to learn from it.
But I think that, yeah, Jeff, you'll have to do a game with them later in the week as they take on IK Manning. I think, you know, another game that they probably have circled on their schedule, like we're going to learn about ourselves when they take on IK Manning on Thursday.
Yeah, IK Manning's won four of their last five and two in a row and is playing good basketball. They're sharing the ball pretty well, getting four guys, three guys into that double figures. And Coach Wagner has said many a times this year when we get three guys or four into double digits or three into double digits and another guy almost into double digits, they're a tough team to beat. But, yeah, they played really well on Saturday when I was down there watching them against Xero and Kimmel and their ball movement that day and cutting to the basket. And I think the other thing that's improved for them is rebounding. They're not a real tall team. You know, Brock Kuzel at about 6'1", maybe 6'2", is their tallest kid. But you got Ashton Arn, Holtz, and Wyatt Danner that can both get in there and rebound, and Ben Ramsey can rebound. So they've gotten some really nice production on the board, and you can see the confidence kind of growing that even though we're an undersized team, we can go in and rebound. But they'll be tested on that against Coon. You got the two Hayden boys that can rebound like crazy, and then Audubon with the size that they have. We'll test that for IK Manning on Friday as well.
Yeah, we got plenty of local sports for you throughout the rest of the week. When you check those out, just visit sports.1380kcim for those full sports schedules. We'll mention it real quick again, Jeff, over the weekend. Haven't touched on boys swimming, but they're coming off a really, really good weekend up at Fort Dodge.
Yeah, 19 personal bests up there on Saturday. Deb Danner just does such an amazing job with that program. And you know, I know last Saturday I – I talked to her before they went up for our Saturday morning coaches show, and I said, you know, Teagan and Legan get a lot of pub, and deservingly so. They're two All-Americans, but there's depth on this group with Weston Toft and Landon Cadwell and a lot of the other guys. So, yeah, they're swimming extremely well right now.
That'll wrap up KCIM Sports Rewind for this Tuesday. Catch a podcast of it coming up in just moments up on carrollbroadcasting.com. We'll take you to the top of the hour coming up on KCIM.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is...